Let's get to our guest, Joshua Crabb, head of Asia Pacific Equities at Robeco. Joshua, these are really interesting times. We had the worst first half since, I think, 1974. So we discounted a lot. I think everyone and her brother knows that the Fed still has work to do. And most of the commentators coming on are ultra cautious, and they're almost scolding the market for rebounding a little here. But markets are forward looking, maybe 6 to 9 months, and apparently they see slightly better times ahead. Are they mistaken in your view?
Oh, I think this is a question that is probably going to be thrown to and fro for some time over the next few months. To be honest, we have a sort of a debate about whether it's too hot in inflation, or whether we're going to slip back into some Goldilocks where the Fed starts tightening, or we slip back into recession. And I think to be honest, I think it's going to be very difficult for everyone to know.
But what's the Joshua Crabb view?
Well, my view is that I think that that the focus is going to change from debate over peak inflation. And I think that's where the focus has been. I think we're going to start hearing a lot more and a lot more thinking around where core is. Clearly, energy prices are going to come off at some point, and that is going to bring the headline down. But the question is, with the core sort of sitting at sort of north of 5%, and 10 years are sitting at 3, the real question is going to be, where does that settle and where the right point's going to be? I think the most important thing for the markets, which I think is the question you're really asking me here, is going to be around at the company level in earnings. We've clearly seen, in the earnings so far out of the US, that sales have been okay, but some of the earnings have been a little bit lackluster. And I think this is the real question about what inflation means. It's the ability of companies to pass this on to the customers, and it's the demand destruction that may go with that. And that's what we're going to really see over the next few quarters, is can the consumers absorb this? And then the quid pro quo of that is, if they can, how much of that is going to feed into wages? And that, along with rental prices, is what's really that key question around, core inflation.
Yeah, rental prices hitting everyone. When we talk about the potential receding inflationary pressures, though, what about in terms of the pace of the dollar's gain? Do you think that might have peaked?
For me, look, I think, I'm an equities person, but clearly it's had a very strong run, and bringing it back to this part of the world where we've seen things like the yen sell off very, very aggressively on the back of that, I think it will slow down. If we go back, 8 months ago, when everyone thought there wasn't any inflation out there, everyone said it's going to be transitory, that mindset has clearly changed now. Those expectations have changed. The curve is going to, I think the debate's going to continue. I think it probably had pulled back a little bit too far when everyone thought the first quarter we're going to start seeing rate cuts again, and I think that's going to have to come back into sort of question.
You told us about a month ago that if you don't get into these markets, you could be a little too late because markets are preemptive. Is that still your view? What kind of further upside could you see from some of these Chinese stocks that have been battered over the past 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think there's always two things to consider when you're trying to make money, and the first one is the valuation starting point. Now, clearly the Chinese markets have got down to valuations we haven't seen for a very, very long time. And in that sits the opportunity. I think we saw the low in the offshore market sort of in March this year. And we've sort of been bouncing around, post a rebound around that sort of little bit above that level since. Now, clearly we haven't seen, stimulus. We haven't seen dramatic moves in the real estate market in China. And as a result, we haven't seen sort of like, a strong rebound at this point. My view is still the same. I think, it is a very, very cheap market. There's a lot of value there. Having some of the right exposures, in that market, if you're patient, will reward you at a certain point. But I think, again, you do need to have some patience. And that's why, the other side of this is trying to find markets where you think they, are not sort of reliant on that. And that's why we quite like the ASEAN markets.
Policy has not been your friend in China for about the past 18 months. It's been tempting over the past couple of weeks to start to think that we've moved beyond that, other than COVID policy. But it seems like some of the policy adjustments on tech and in some other areas have cooled off. But now we see the PBOC is looking to drain liquidity just because of a slightly higher inflation reading. Are you comfortable with policy coming out of China in order to deploy money there?
I mean, again, I come back to the point. I mean, you can sort of focus on what's happening at the margin, but, you know, I come back to, you know, fairly simple things. Politicians in most parts of the world, are sort of held to account by the general living standards, right? So if you have policies that are tight mm-hmm. for too long, people mm-hmm. tend to get a little bit, upset, and then you tend to have some loosening at some point. And I think that, look, clearly inflation is an issue around the world, and we've seen how far, you know, like it took the Fed and some of the moves it took them to presumably get ahead of the curve or in line with that. And I think, you know, what you're seeing from the PBOC is saying, look, we don't want to be in a similar situation. So we're going to try and, you know, manage that a little bit earlier. So, yeah, it's a headwind. But again, the point I would make is when you do see noise around this, you don't see the lurch down in markets because that valuation support is already in.
Let's go back to your call on ASEAN. You say Indonesia, Vietnam. I was in Vietnam on the weekend. I was in Indonesia about a month ago. I know you and Brian don't want to hear that because you're still stuck with those border policies in Hong Kong. But, I mean, these are two nations that you wouldn't even know the pandemic had occurred. So is this all on the reopening theme?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a little bit bigger picture than that. If we sort of go back a few years ago, you know, because of, you know, increasing wage costs in places like China, people were looking to develop their supply chains in other countries. You know, Vietnam and Indonesia were good sort of, you know, examples of that. COVID comes along, all that investment stops basically. You know, a lot of these people basically lose their jobs, the consumption falls off the face of the earth, and everything just goes into a stall. We roll forward a few years, and what's happened is, you know, all that investment that people wanted to put in, now people are trying to front load and get that back in there. Secondly, because of, the geopolitics, supply chain disruptions, et cetera, people want to do even more of that. So then when we consider what's happening there is that money is going on the ground. These are people who get it. They get their jobs. You know, they consume immediately. They don't save it like we see in the Western world. And that you see a big consumption boom on the back of it. So we think that's, you know, it's a great long-term structural story.
What's your number one call at the moment?
Again, it's one of those sort of, difficult ones at the moment because I think things like, you know, Indonesia and Vietnam have actually done very well in recent times. And that's why I think you always have to be, you know, a little bit sort of, you know, mindful around, you know, when you take sort of advantage of these things. But again, look, I still think they're great structural stories. We spoke a little bit earlier about sort of, you know, China being an opportunity. And the other one that, you know, that we quite like actually is some of the industrial companies in Japan. You know, like this is an area where the weak yen is a good tailwind for some of those companies.
Joshua, always great to have your insights. Thank you. Happy Friday. Joshua Crabb, head of Asia Pacific Equities at Robeco in our Hong Kong studio for us here.